Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're back with me, Duarte Geraldino, on The Takeaway today. This week, our show is hosting two journalists through a global exchange program. They're from the African countries of Lesotho and Zambia. They've been a part of our editorial process. And in our discussions about the Me Too movement, they've told us it's not quite resonating the same way in their countries as it is here in the USA. But change is happening for women. And some of those changes are starting in the workplace. Take the story. In 2014, three women soldiers in the Lesotho Defense Forces were fired after telling their supervisors that they were pregnant. But these women soldiers fought back. They took the Lesotho military to court. It was only last month that the case was resolved. A judge ruled in the women's favor. They were reinstated on March 1st. Keso Moklabudi is the co-founder of the MNN Center for Investigative Journalism in Lesotho. She's been covering this story.
The Lesotho Defense Force has 3,100 soldiers in total. And even though the public affairs officer always refused to tell us the exact number of women within the LDF, the estimated calculations are that there are approximately 12% representation.
So just 12% representation. With these women in particular, what happened to them?
In 2014, the former army commander for Lesotho Defense Force introduced a standing order barring female soldiers from being pregnant for the first 5 years of service. He said there was no room for childbearing because of the heavy weapons that they would be using for the first 5 years. And it was the first time the army introduced such an order.
These women didn't take too well to this.
According to what they told the court when they sued the army, is that we just took the order and continued to join the service. But we have the customary law that allows women to fall pregnant and bear children. So when they found out that they were pregnant, they immediately reported to their supervisors that they were pregnant. And unfortunately, they were fired from the army. That is when they took the matter to their lawyers to sue the army.
The irony is these are women who are trained to fight because they are soldiers and they fought for their rights to bear children. Were you surprised by the way the court case turned out?
So the details in the affidavits where they tried to reason and show how the military was discriminating them at workplace, I was not quite surprised about the judgment.
And in terms of women's rights in the country, are other women in other industries also standing up for themselves because of the victory in this particular case?
Most women were happy because after several publications of the victory of these three women who were reinstated, there are soldiers who came up and declared that they had to hide their pregnancies and go through abortion without the military knowing that they are pregnant and they terminated their pregnancies. So the judgment was quite fulfilling because it then now says if it was illegal and invalid for the military to set up or introduce such a standing order during this time of reforms, then it's highly likely that it's going to be cancelled. Women will be free to fall pregnant and bear children as per the constitution and our customary law.
Thank you so much, Keso Moklabudi, the co-founder of MNN Center for Investigative Journalism in Lesotho.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking about how women in the Lesotho military challenge the system to secure their rights in the workforce, but they're not the norm. Women across Africa still face deeply rooted expectations that they should just stay home. And in the workplace, they're seriously disadvantaged compared to men. My next guest says a lot of that boils down to social capital. Dr. Mojubaolu Okome is here to talk with us about the challenges African women are facing. She's professor of political science, African and women's studies at Brooklyn College. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Okome, you know, progress has been made in a lot of fronts for women in the workplace across Africa, but can you talk about some of the most significant signals of progress versus some of the current challenges?
I think we have to make a separation between women who are in the formal workforce and women in the informal economy. Majority of African women work in the informal economy. If one is looking at informal economy, you'll actually find that across the board, there's a high rate of female labor force participation, with the exception of the Northern African region, you know. So when one looks at this, over 60% of African women are involved in the labor force. But because of the dominance of the informal economy, most of these jobs show elements of underemployment, also lack of decent work conditions, which the ILO describes as a situation where people don't have social protections like pensions and a short enough work day. You know, you might have to work round the clock to make the same amount of money that somebody who works maybe a 9-to-5 is making. This is a significant issue because this is something that majority of African women experience.
In the United States, there's that saying, it's not often what you know, but who you know that helps your career advance. Is that the same thing at play in Africa? And are women at a disadvantage based on who they know, who they have access to?
Yes. You know, there's that element. There is also an element of very strong bias against women. So sexism plays a role, and then access to social capital and the advantages that it brings plays a role. So we have to make a distinction based on class, but then there's also bias towards women, so that if a woman is as qualified as a man and they're seeking employment, the preference is given to men because of a lot of beliefs about women's performance, that women's performance might be affected by motherhood. And then there's a lot of, there's sometimes social barriers to having women take positions of leadership. So women would tend to be given opportunities where there's a lot of service and less pay.
If you could touch very, very briefly on the Me Too movement. It's taken up so much attention here in the U.S. and in parts of Europe. But in Africa, is there as much of an emphasis on the Me Too movement?
If we are looking for the word Me Too, there are a few Africans on social media that have talked about Me Too. So people are talking, they're talking more, but until there are legal protections where laws are enforced that punish people who perpetrate these acts of violence towards women, and then there's social support for victims, you are not going to have a huge movement of people talking about their personal trauma and pain in public when there's no recourse, really.
Mojubaolu Okeme, professor of political science, African and women's studies at Brooklyn College. Thank you.
My pleasure.